All right, got the camp clap down. All right, little ones. All right, come on, gang. Hey, who cut your hair? Did you? Yeah. I heard that. Hi, Justin, come on. I don't know. You're going to tell me what it is in just a minute. Yeah. You're going to tell me in just a minute what it is. All right, squeeze in here and get one. Oh, that's my hair.
It's a clock.
All right, so everybody's trying to guess what it is. Everybody squeezed in yet? All right. What kind of clock? Alarm clock. Awesome. Anybody know what this button on top is then? Nope, that's not the alarm.
Shut it off.
Shut it off. Anybody know what that button is called? No. Do you see it? Snooze button. So when the alarm goes off and it rings and you're not awake, you reach over and push the button, and what happens? It goes off, and then in 5 minutes it goes off again. And then I go like this. And turn it off again. Do you guys have an alarm clock in your room?
No.
Nope. Do you use it, Sam?
I do.
A clock?
I do.
You have an alarm clock? Do you set the alarm?
I don't really.
No? You don't either? It's not on. Yeah. Who's your alarm clock for the most of you?
Mom.
No. When school starts in a couple weeks, who wakes you up? Mom and Dad. And then when they come in and say, all right, time to get up, let's go to school, what do? Lay in bed and pull the covers up over your head. Get 5 more minutes.
Stay in bed forever.
You stay in bed forever, yeah. Yeah, you know what? There are, here you go, give it back to me now. There are people who hit the snooze button with Jesus. Did you know that? We share Jesus with them and we tell them about Jesus and how he died on the cross for us. And we ask them if they want to accept Jesus as their Savior, and what do they say? No. They hit the snooze button on that, and they say, maybe later, I'm okay now. But you know what? We don't know the day we're going to die, do we? And so they may not be all right. Do you guys know the story in the Bible of the rich man and Lazarus the beggar? Lazarus was a beggar that didn't have anything, and so he sat outside the rich man's home every day. And Lazarus was hungry, he had sores all over his body, and he wanted food, but the rich man never gave him any food. In fact, the rich man didn't even notice him, just walked right by him as he went out. And the rich man lived in a really nice house with lots of food and really nice clothes.
Really big house?
A really big house.
Bigger.
Big, yeah, big. And a big, big house. Yeah, unbelievably big. So anyway.
Not as big as God.
Yeah, not as big as God. But one day they both died, and Lazarus, the beggar, believed in Jesus, and so he went to heaven. And the rich man didn't care about anybody else but himself and didn't trust in Jesus, and so where did he go? To the place where it's really, really hot all week, all day, every day. Yeah, kind of worse than it was here last week, okay? Yeah, so he went to hell. Because he didn't believe in Jesus. And so one day that the rich man was in hell, and he looks up into the heavens and he sees the beggar man, Lazarus, with Abraham. And he says, Father Abraham, he said, let Lazarus dip his finger in some water and just give me a drink. It's so horrible down here. And you know what Father Abraham told him? So sad, too bad.
You said too late.
Yeah, he said, it's too late. You had a chance. And you didn't accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. You didn't believe. And now the separation is too great. We can't do it. And so the rich man said, well, send somebody to tell my brothers, because he had 5 brothers and he wanted them to know about Jesus so they wouldn't come to hell with him. Do your friends all have 5 brothers that need to know about Jesus too? Who's going to tell them?
I have one.
You have one friend?
A girl.
A girl. Does she need to know about Jesus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's
your sister. She's your friend. Cool. Yep, I know Gracie. Yeah. We all have friends that need to know about Jesus, don't we? And so the story is that means they say, we got to tell them now, all right? We need to tell them now about Jesus because we don't know if they're going to be alive tomorrow. Sometimes accidents happen. And so we need to tell people about Jesus now and help them so that they don't get eternally separated from God as well. How many of you are going to go to camp with us this week?
Huh?
Yeah. Okay, a few.
I have two on tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, I'm going on vacation.
Okay. Well, that's not camp. But you can still tell people about Jesus on vacation. One of the things that we're going to talk about in camp this week is how do we tell our friends about Jesus so that we can do that, all right? So tell your friends about Jesus. When you go to camp, you are not quite old enough yet, sweetheart. A couple more years, and I'll be glad to take you to camp. All right, well, let's pray, and then it looks like Miss Maggie's ready to take you guys off to Kids Connect, all right? Heavenly Father, we thank you for, again, each and every one of these children here. We thank you for their parents that have brought them this morning to hear the word of God and to learn about this Jesus that loves them so much that he died on the cross. We pray that you would help them to share that love with their friends and others that they come in contact with so that they too would know about this great love that we have for us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you guys are off. A couple more years, sweetheart. I can't help that. You know what grade you got to be in?
Yes.
Third grade.
You know what? Third grade or first grade?
Hey, third grade you got to go. You're only going to be in first grade next year.
Hey, do you know what, Ryan?
I know it takes a mighty big dog to weigh 5,000 pounds.
When I wake up, I see it fly out, then I just sleep a couple more hours.
You sleep a couple more hours? Whoosh. All right. See you, Justin. It's a good morning. For me, it's a good morning because I get to sit and listen to some teaching alongside my wife. But if you're visiting today and you don't know much about our church family, 25% of all of our offering goes to missions. Some of that is local. A lot of it is worldwide missionaries that we're helping to support who are out working to share the gospel. Event Ministries is a mission sending group that's been in operation for, I think, around 120 years. And they are a church planting organization. And what we're finding out in our country is that new church plants do a better job than established churches of reaching people with the gospel. And so today we get to hear from Lee and Tina Swanda from Slovenia. That's one of 30 countries that Avant Ministries is planting churches. And we get to hear about the great work that they're doing. Now, I just want to let you know that at the end of the service, if somebody from missions would be back in the back with an offering plate, we're going to take up a love offering for Lee and Tina. What we fail to realize sometimes is when we have missionaries come, the money that we usually use to support them goes for their day-to-day activity at work. But when they're traveling around to churches to share their story and tell us about what they're doing, they often have to pay for all that travel themselves. And so today we'll take up a love offering to help them continue to get around and share about the great work they're doing for the Lord. So with that, Lee, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning. Well, it's been 2 years since we've been with you all. If you weren't here 2 years ago, you don't know, maybe this was my church growing up in my youth, and my high school, middle school, junior college days, and so it's always a privilege to come back and see so many familiar faces and say hello. And we wish we could be here much longer than we are. Our furlough times are fairly quick and rigorous, so we're moving around pretty fast. So here, yeah, this is a picture of our family, and like Pastor mentioned, we are church planters with Avant Ministries, and so this picture was taken this spring, and this is down on the coast of the Adriatic Sea where we live, and very cool to see a picture of Slovenia on the cover of the bulletin. And so if you look at that, we are in Koper, K-O-P-E-R, in the southwest corner of Slovenia. And if you look at Slovenia, kind of looks like an animal, a bird. Anybody guess what kind of bird? I heard chicken, that's right. So we're kind of down there on the hind end of the chicken. No, Slovenia is a very beautiful place physically, but a very dark place spiritually, and that is why we're there. So, next slide, please. So this is our team, and our team has changed a lot since we got there almost 8 years ago. And Tina and I are now leading our team, and we've got 420-somethings that have come to join us. And so this picture was taken on June 1st when our last teammate, Jolene, on the far right, had joined us. We get together for a celebratory meal to just welcome her. And my youngest didn't want to smile for the photo. So we're really excited about the team that we're leading right now. Our new teammates have really just come in with a very positive spirit, very much just desiring to learn and follow our lead, and we're happy with how it's going, and we're excited to be with them again. So we mentioned being in Slovenia to plant the church. And so for us, if you don't know, we're not there to go walk into Koper, rent out a space, or build a building and say, hey, everybody, come on in. This is church. You're welcome to join us. If we did that, from our missions track record, that would likely lead to, this will come, but this is your American church, and it's yours. And we don't want that to happen. We want to plant something that is done through Slovenes, and for them to say, yeah, this is mine. I am the church. This is a Slovene thing, and I want to take it and run with it years after you've left. And so, with that in mind, I have some questions for you all to ponder. And this has to do with kind of the crossroads that we're at in our ministry right now. This is a very positive and exciting place to be at. But I'd like to ask you, do you see yourself as a local representation of the body of Christ? And I mean each of you as individuals. Okay? Now I'm going to challenge you a little more. And if you would say that, yes, I am the church, okay, great. But is it enough to just say, yep, I'm the church, just come in on Sunday and hear from pastor and then, I don't know, go to Sunday school, whatever, and then go on your way and just kind of repeat that week after week after week? Is that enough? Is it enough to do that but not be involved? Now, I didn't come here to put pressure on y'all, but I think, okay, I got permission. It's important for all of us to think about as Christians. It's important for me, where I'm at, and for my wife. So what we're looking for is, again, people that come to faith. They come together, they gather together, and they're meeting regularly. And for them to be then showing a commitment to Jesus in their lives, but also showing a commitment to one another, okay? And what does that look like to show a commitment to one another? We're teaching them about that now. You love one another, you serve one another, you bear one another's burdens, you come alongside each other. And you're organized to do God's will. And that's kind of a big statement, being organized to do God's will. But that means you're caring for each other within the church, but you're also having an outward focus to where you're wanting to reach the lost in the community. And when we see that happening, that's a big thing yet for us, then we're willing to say, okay, a church has been planted in Koper, Slovenia. And at that point, we begin helping it grow toward maturity. So again, next slide. This is, again, where we are, but just to give you a point of reference, So it's about the size of New Jersey, a small country, former state of the country of Yugoslavia. Next slide. Okay. So we were here 2 years ago, and we had some really cool things to report about. We've had ongoing Bible studies, as we do today, and we also had an English club where we were teaching kids, classmates of our children and their parents, biblical principles and sharing the gospel and so on. But we kind of came to a point where we felt like that needed to change a little bit and maybe transitioned into something more. Well, last summer we had the opportunity to take the kids from our English club to a summer camp in a joint thing with Child Evangelism Fellowship, CEF, which some of you may have heard of, and had a really good experience in connection with CEF and the opportunity to then begin partnering with them. So last fall, we started doing CEF Good News Clubs in Coper with them. And so we started in early November, and the one cool thing that happened was Tina was getting to know, has gotten to know, the local librarians in a library, and we knew that CEF was doing these clubs in other cities, in libraries, paying rent and so on, and the library was willing to let us have our events there on Friday afternoons for free. And so that was a big thing. They were like, but under the condition that we're able to advertise and invite local kids as well. So praise the Lord, we ended up having 25 kids come our first night, first afternoon, and throughout the spring we averaged around 20 kids. So that isn't really what we came to Slovenia to do, to do a kids club, but it was an open door. And it's also something for our now teenage daughter and almost teenage son to be connected in, for them to be growing, and for them to be in a positive community with other kids. Go ahead and show a couple more slides. So this is kind of what we do in the library. We do some games, do some activities, crafts, and one more. Do a Bible lesson, and then we've done some things outside as well. So this is kind of the core group. And a couple of the kids in this picture, well, about seven of them went to camp this summer with the rest of our team back in Slovenia now. And we were super excited to hear that two of the kids, one boy in Ben's class, Timotei, and a girl in Madeline's class, Ika, both accepted Christ as their Savior. So that's a huge praise. Okay, next slide, please. Well, with the new teammates coming over, the young ladies on the team started pushing us a little to do something new with Slovene women. And Tina was like, okay, but you got to own it, because you guys want to do this at night. I'm not really a nighttime girl. And so they really came up with a lot of good ideas and did a lot of theme-based things on weeknights. The first night, it was just the three of them. No Slovenes came. But by the end of the spring, they had up to 12 ladies coming. And so here you see, obviously, this was Valentine's night. And so they get together, they do something theme-based, and then they kind of open up and share what their prayer needs are and begin to pray for each other. And in Slovenia, where trust is such a difficult thing, and it's difficult for Slovenes to open up to one another, they had to model that. They had to model showing how to share your burdens and then pray. And as time went on, they began to see more ladies open up with each other. Next slide. So this is my friend Matyaj. That's how you say that name, Matyaj. And we've had our ongoing Bible study going, and we've been meeting in a public Bible reading room in the center of Koper. And so in late January, I was leading us through kind of towards the end of Romans, and all of a sudden this guy walks in off the street, and we've never had that happen before. And he was like, who are you guys? What are you doing here? And so we explained to him and gave him a Bible, invited him to sit down and join us and just listen. And it didn't take very long for us to get going, and he just started asking a lot of questions. And that was, you know, awesome in itself. So I was like, okay, time out. And we just started reasoning with him from the scriptures. And so this Christian woman that was there, she was like, so, do you want to pray and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And I was like, oh, okay, hold on. And so we just started again. We were reasoning with him, but we didn't, you know, start with them at point A and go to point Z or whatever. And so I kind of did that. And after about 30 minutes, we asked him that question again. And he said, yes, I do. And he prayed and accepted Christ as his Savior that night. I began meeting with him regularly, just discipling him, showing him how to get started as a new believer. And he's had a fire in him that's been awesome to see. I remember meeting with him maybe a month or so after his conversion. He was like, yeah, you know what? It's the strangest thing, but now I understand these are things I should do. These are things I shouldn't do. And I'm like, amen. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's God living in you and working through you and telling you what you should and shouldn't be doing. Next slide, please. Well, not long after that, we had some believers that we were all as a team meeting with, and the Lord began to tell us that, okay, we need to try and bring these believers together and see if we can start something here. And so this was in our apartment, and we had, on a Sunday afternoon, we had a brainstorming session with them, and Matias was there as well, and we wanted to hear, okay, if we start having a regular time of worship to you, what should this look like? And probably the biggest takeaway was we want it to be like family. And that's what we are, aren't we? We're all family. And that was awesome to hear. So we started worship this 2 Sundays later. And this is in our teammate's apartment. My teammate Malia leads us on guitar, leads worship on guitar. And I preach in Slovene, and we do everything in Slovene. And so we're meeting regularly. We have this time of worship. But we're not ready to say, okay, you are the church. We want them to take ownership of that. We are meeting, we're doing church. We want to see them say, I am the church, and take ownership of that. And so this culminated with a baptism service on June 4th at the sea. And so here we are by the sea, and that was an interesting day. I had put on our private Facebook page, so this was Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon here. No, Sunday morning here, sorry, we're 7 hours ahead. And we began to see that there was some spiritual warfare going on. One of the girls that we had met with to have baptized, talk about baptism with. She's a new college girl, moved to Coper from her hometown and away from her parents, and her parents are not believers. And we talked to her about, okay, do your parents know about this, that you're wanting to get baptized? And we were just encouraging that even if they don't agree, they should at least know that you're going to do that. And so she began to feel convicted about it, called our teammate and was crying, and our teammate went and was alongside of her and supporting her. And so she called her parents, and her mom was just like, yeah, whatever, indifferent, didn't care. And her dad was very much against it. And she began to break down and cry, and her dad was like, okay, I can see that this is important to you. So if it's important to you, I support you. And so she came to the baptism service. We started at 5 o'clock, and you could just see this weight was lifted off of her shoulders, and she was really excited and to be baptized. So we also got to the beach, an area that we had scouted out the Sunday before at the same time, and it was nice and peaceful and calm then, but this Sunday, people everywhere, waves crashing, we saw a storm coming, and thankfully the storm went around. By the time we got started, the people were beginning to clear out. But also, it was a great time of testimony to them. We began singing praise songs, and a lot of people watching, and this is out in public. This is not normal for Slovenia. Next slide, please. And so, here we are, and this is some short video of a familiar praise song that you all might recognize, and thought we'd give you a taste of what that sounds like in Slovene. At work in gym? Nope. Oh. we move on. Okay. Well, that was blessed be the name of the Lord. Yeah, I'd rather not. You might not enjoy it so much. So next slide, please. So after singing and after some teaching on why we baptize, after showing our friends that when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he said, what did he say? Go and make disciples and then baptize them. He didn't say, baptize and then go make them my disciples. And also looking at the scriptures, and what do you see? You see people coming to faith and then being baptized. And in a Catholic culture, that's a very difficult thing to hear. Well, one of the men that was there was being convicted about that. So this is me baptizing Matyaj. Next slide, please. And then here's the guy that was feeling convicted. And after we did our teaching and walked over to the water to baptize, I baptized Matyaj, I baptized our college girl Neja, baptized our son Ben, and I said, hey, does anybody else want to get baptized? And this is Gregor, and Gregor raised his hand and came forward. And Gregor has been a believer for over a year, and our teammate David, standing there in the yellow, has been discipling him. And I was like, David, you want to baptize him? He's like, no, you do it. I said, okay, well, at least you need to come in the water with me and be a witness to him. So Gregor felt convicted. We'd talked about it in the past. He was like, you know what? I was baptized as a baby in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm good. And that's a typical response. But he was convicted that that didn't happen when he believed. Okay? He realized, you know what? I've made this decision. I made this decision over a year ago. I need to be baptized now and show this public proclamation of my faith. And so that was a huge praise to see him step forward and do that publicly. Next slide, please. And so here we are after everybody had been baptized. And for Tina and I, for our team, this is a like a mountaintop kind of experience, a huge praise to God for the work that he's done, and that we get to be a part of it. I hope it's exciting to each of you as you're a part of what we're doing as well. So now we're seeing, you know, regularly 5 to 10 Slovenes that are meeting with us and worshiping with us. You know, and this group is going to be where a majority of our focus is going to be as we get back, just helping them grow together, encouraging them to invite their friends, already looking at, okay, who has some leadership ability here, and beginning to mentor them in leading and so on. And so every time we come back, I don't know, I feel like the Lord always lays something on my heart, and that he's showing me that I feel like, okay, I need to share this as well. And that's from Matthew 9. And I'm going to read that and then talk a little more about it. So I'm going to read I've got verses 12 to 13 shown here, but I'm going to read starting in verse 9 to 13 if you want to follow along in your Bibles. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth, and he said to him, follow me. And he got up and followed him. Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners? But when Jesus heard this, he said, it's not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. So I'd read this spring, and I've read it many times, I'm sure most of you have, but some new things popped out to me. Here we have Jesus. He's at Matthew's place. And it's known to be the Matthew that wrote this book. Matthew was a tax collector. But tax collectors in that day, they weren't known to be good people. They had a reputation in town. They were known to cheat people. They were known to be in cahoots with the Roman authorities. But here's Jesus. He's dining with them. These are the known sinners. And the Pharisees see this, and they're like, this guy's so, you know, high and mighty, righteous, he's calling himself God. Why is he sitting with these people? And what really struck me, okay, and he talks about, okay, those who are healthy need a physician. It's not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. Okay, the sick are us, those who need Jesus. Pharisees didn't think they needed Jesus. They were good. They were, Jesus quotes from Hosea chapter 6 there, I desire compassion and not sacrifice. Well, in Hosea is talking about the Israelites going to the temple and giving their sacrifices and thinking, I'm good. I'm good, God. I've done my bit. And it can be like us coming to church and saying, God, I did my thing. I'm good. But is that enough? Is it enough to just come in here and not go out and show compassion on the lost? And the people that we're reaching today, they're not the self-righteous. They're not the righteous. They're the sick, and they are broken. And God really just started to convict me about this. We have a guy that is walking with us, and he has a reputation in town, and I know of it, and it's not good. And I've gone out in public with him, and I see how people look at him, and here I am sitting beside him. And I feel ashamed of that, thinking, man, do I really want to sit beside this guy out here in public for people to see? So I feel like the Lord really kind of hit me about this, you know. Show him compassion. Walk alongside him. Who cares what other people think? So that's what we're doing. And we've been there almost 8 years. We've shared the gospel with a lot of people. And a lot of people that have said, you know what, it's good that you're here. It's good that you have that message, but I'm good. Go share it with somebody else who needs it. And these are all people that need it. So I appreciate, you know, please pray for us in that. Please pray for these broken people. Jesus is building his church, and it's not through the self-righteous. It's through the broken. It's through, I'm broken. You're all broken. If you're in here, you know you're broken, and you needed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And that's what it's all about. So I know that I have to continue to show compassion, and I hope that you all feel that as well as you leave here today. So that's it in a nutshell. Here's some prayer needs that we have. Please continue to pray for our children as they're in the schools, and you know they've got new friends that have come to faith. Pray that they can be help walk alongside them, be a good witness. But also, these schools are tough. They don't have a group of kids that they can really run around with that are all Christians. So pray that they can, that God would ultimately protect them and guide and direct them. Pray for our Slovene friends, of course, that we're working with, and that they would stay committed to Christ and to each other. And pray for Tina and I as we lead our team, and just that we would be wise and leading and kind of have a vision for what the Lord wants us to do next. So we've got new prayer cards. If you'd like to grab one out in the foyer, we'd love for you to have one. Put it on your fridge or somewhere and pray for us when you feel prompted. And That's what we've got for you today. Thank you so much. Thank you for being a church that supports missions. And thank you for being a part of what we're doing, being our hands and feet. Amen.
Hey, Jim, would you run back to that Bible verse that Lee used in Matthew for me? This morning as we get ready to leave, and again, they'll be down in the CLC if you want to go visit and ask questions. I want to point to this word where it says, I desire compassion. And the word compassion here is used in several other places that Jesus speaks. And what the word means is it is a stirring in your bowels. It is this holy discontent that you have that I just have to do this. This is what Jesus is looking for. He says, I desire compassion. I want you to be so stirred up, just so I've got to help take care of this. And that's who we're trying to be as a church, that we have this great compassion for those in our community who are lost. It's great for us all to come together and worship. It's great for us all to go to Sunday school. It's going to be great for us to sit down and have breakfast together next Sunday during the Sunday school hour. But what about those still outside our walls who don't know Jesus? Those are the people that we're supposed to be reaching out to and trying to reach. So again, I beg you to find some people in town that don't know Jesus. Get out of your holy huddles. Find some people that don't know Jesus. Begin to welcome them into your fold. Go out and eat with them, even if it causes you a little bit of distress to be seen with those people. Have a holy discontent or the stirring in your bowels for the lost people. We are looking for people, again, to come alongside us in church. And just as they're looking for people to commit to a church body in Slovenia and Koper, we're looking for people who want to be a part of what we're trying to do in our community. So as we get ready to sing Jesus Paid It All this morning, if you would love to be a part of our church family, be a committed member, not just an attender, but a committed member who's invested in what we're doing, we'd love to have you come forward at this time. But also, if you're one of those broken people that you heard Lee talking about that needs to know who Jesus is and what he can do in your life, at this time, we invite you to come down. Again, we are all broken at least at one time. The Bible says that we are all sinners, and because of that sin, we're not worthy to be in heaven with God for an eternity. But Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid the price for those sins so that we could be made right and have that presence with God in the future. If that's you today, if you've never, like Matyaz, and I remembered that name because there's a guy from Slovenia in the World's Strongest Man competition who's really good, and his name is Matyaz. He's a little bit bigger than that guy. But if you're like Matyaz and you realize that there's something you need in your life that's missing, it's probably that you need a Savior. And so we invite you to come forward today too, if that is you. Let's pray, and then we'll stand and sing Jesus Paid It All. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those who, with much prayer and conviction, have picked up their families and moved around the world to plant churches. We are blessed to have Jacob and his family here just about a month ago as they get ready to go to Jordan. And today with Lee and Tina, we thank you for the call on their life to go to a foreign country, to learn a new language, a new culture, and yet Jesus is the same as he is here. So we thank you for their love and the obedience to go. We pray that you would watch over them. You've heard their prayer concerns for wisdom and discernment as they lead, for their children to have other young Christians come alongside them and walk with them through their time in school. And then for those who they are calling to be the committed church, we pray that you would bless them and speak to their hearts as well, that they would take ownership of this church and make it theirs. We love you, Father. We thank you for all that you're doing in their midst. And we pray that as you continue to work in our midst, that you would bless us for our obedience and our willingness to be flexible in the mission field, to be able to do new things and try new ways and to change things so that they're not always the same as we hear that Lee and Tina are doing, to make the gospel a more effective means of reaching out. We love you and we thank you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.